Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. This week, our two-part franchise financial series comes to an end, and today my guest is David Pearl, business financial consultant at Pearl Business Group and former CFO at eBrands Restaurants and Sonny's Franchise Company. Co-producer Joe Caruso has appropriately titled today's show as How to Use Financial Metrics as an Essential Franchise Management Tool, and basically you can't fix what you can't see. So David and I will discuss what is typically a very frustrating topic for franchisors, which is franchise reporting, and it is often you can't fix what you can't see. Our discussion will focus on the practical side of financial reports, what to look for in reports and reading between the lines, and how to utilize financial information for effective franchise management. Well, following on the heels of last week's show about franchisor-franchisee succession planning and business valuation, I believe all will agree Joe put together a great 1-2 punch for the franchise financial series. I'd like to thank last week's guest, Bruce Schaefer, providing us with some very valuable information. Certainly, succession planning and business valuation is right up there with financial reporting as being two very frustrating topics that are often pushed aside by franchisors and franchisees alike. However, we know it's essential to address these matters for franchise success, and I'm sure Joe had that in mind as he planned the series. Well, let's see what's happening first in franchise news. Here's an interesting article that recently appeared in the Wall Street Journal, and one that certainly dispels the myth that franchise fees should be discounted in hard times. The article states franchisors are demanding more upfront cash along with additional general business and specific industry experience from potential franchisees as the economy continues to falter. Restaurant chains such as Popeyes, Firehouse Subs, and Zoop Fresh Soup have raised their requirements to become a franchisee and say that changes have actually helped business. Firehouse now requires a 30% down payment from buyers and says sales for new stores are 17% higher than those that opened earlier. Very interesting article indeed. And in a recent article in USA Today, McDonald's proved itself recession-resistant, thriving in an economic downturn that had other chains scrambling to survive. In the interview, CEO Jim Skinner shares his insights on why the business continues to succeed, repeats the company's reassurance that it won't drop employee health coverage in the wake of new legislation, and says he believes common sense will prevail in the push to enact so-called fat taxes. Boy, it's amazing we hear that term, common sense, quite often, and initiated by Daryl Johnson of Frandata during our previous franchise finance series. How appropriate, common sense. And then there's more reference to McDonald's in the Wall Street Journal. Big banks have begun lending to restaurants again, but only to those that weren't hurt too badly by the recession, a trend that leaves a large number of franchises struggling to access capital. McDonald's franchisees are likely to find the funds they need to remodel and open new stores, while operators at chains that didn't fare as well during the downturn may actually find their efforts stymied. And lastly, as reported in the Business Journal Group, laid-off workers such as Chad Marshall are finding opportunity and growth in franchising. Marshall says when he was laid off last year after years in management, his technical skills weren't sharp, but he found few executive job openings. So he struck out on his own, buying a Comfort Care senior services franchise. Typically, there's an uptick in franchising growth during a down economy. IFA's Elisa Harrison said, we're expecting franchise businesses will continue to outperform non-franchise businesses this year. Well, and as a reminder, Lisa Harrison will be my guest on Franchise Today on Thursday, December 2nd, as we discuss everything IFA. And speaking of the IFA, let's visit the IFA corner. Here's a press release that was issued by the IFA earlier today. IFA President and CEO Steve Caldera, has been named to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Association Committee of 100. For more than 50 years, leading association executives have gathered under the banner of the U.S. Chambers Association Committee of 100 to network, build partnerships, and discuss current issues. Congratulations, Steve. I'm sure you'll do a fine job in representing the IFA. According to IFA's just completed VetFran survey, 2,089 franchises have opened since the program began. IFA Chairman Ken Walker said, in this time of economic uncertainty, IFA encourages veterans seeking the American dream of starting their own small business to consider owning a franchise business and taking advantage of the financial incentives offered by participating member companies in the VetFran program. The IFA encourages you to join your fellow franchise colleagues heading to Miami to heat up their brands present in the southeastern U.S., Latin America, and the Caribbean. That's right. We're talking about the IFA's Franchise Expo South, which is scheduled for January 14th to 16th, which will enable your franchise to extend its reach into new markets, spend face-to-face time with investors, and provide its representatives with numerous educational opportunities. The trade show is sponsored by MFE Expositions and will be conducted at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Looks like South Beach, here we come. On December 1st, the IFA Wednesday Wise webinar will address utilizing the new SBA limits to enhance franchise development from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Speakers will include Franchise Performance Group founding partner Joseph Matthews, Frandata President and CEO Daryl Johnson, and Siegel Financial Group Franchise America Finance CEO Ronald Feldman. IFA's Wednesday Wise webinar are sponsored by the IFA Supplier Forum and are approved for CIS 50 CFE participation credits per webinar. And as you know, Daryl Johnson and Ronald Feldman both have been guests on Franchise Today in the Franchise Finance series, which aired back in June. And then just recently, when we came back in the new season in October with Franchise Today, Ronald Feldman was on again to bring us up to date on the happenings in franchise finance. Now, each month, IFA's Franchising World magazine delivers articles, reports, and commentary from the industry's leading experts. Readers receive a steady flow of information that includes insights on government relations, multi-unit expansion, social media and technology, of which I had an article back in October, trends, marketing, and international development. You can access the magazine's e-edition at www.franchise.org and share it with colleagues and prospective business owners. And let's not forget the IFA convention coming up in February. And if you haven't already registered, please do so today. It's going to be a great event. So visit the Franchise Essential site at www.fmdpro.com and click on the IFA 2011 logo, which will take you directly to the IFA registration page. There's a lot going on in franchising, even though we're moving into the holiday season. So let's stay on top of this. And as I said at the top of the show, today is the second part and the last part of the two-part franchise financial series. And my guest today is David Pearl. And as I said, David is a CPA, a business financial consultant of Pearl Business Group, and a former CFO of eBrands Restaurants and Sonny's Franchising. David, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend an hour with us and help shed some light on financial reporting, certainly within the franchise environment. And it may seem obvious from our show title today that, of course, you can't fix what you can't see. But why is it that many franchisors spend a great deal of energy even trying?
Well, the key is that franchisors and franchisees have to both have the understanding that they are forming a partnership. the franchisor is selecting the franchisee to be their partner for a specific territory. And it's very important that the franchisee rely and use the franchisor and use their expertise and what they've learned and show them all of their financials, show them the full details. You can't expect the franchisor to understand and to make any changes or suggestions if they can't see exactly what's going on in the franchise world and the franchisee. The franchisee is the one on the ground. He or she is there at the location on a daily basis, and they understand everything that's going on. But the franchisor has the experience with this specific entity and knows, okay, what are these expectations? What are the financial metrics that we're looking for? And they really need to understand what are the full financials. And so, again, the franchisee needs to really become a partner with that franchisor and not be at all, you know, ashamed or anything to hold back and make sure that the franchisor sees all the financials so that they can help them and support them as they go forward.
You know, we have a lot of new upstart franchisors as well as some independent business owners that might be considering franchising as an expansion strategy that often listen to Franchise Today and might not fully understand what full financials are. Can you kind of just give us maybe a menu of some of the obvious and maybe less obvious items that might be included in what you describe as full financials?
Well, when you describe full financials, I usually do what I call a two-page financial. The first page is going to be the sales, the revenue, and the cost of goods sold, along with the labor for that specific industry. That's usually what you'll show your manager. That's what they have the ability to change. That's the variable costs. They can work on their cost of goods sold. They can work on their labor costs. Page two is what usually franchisors, unfortunately, don't get. And what that'll include is that includes all the general and administrative expenses. That includes what it costs to run your office. That includes anything from insurance expenses to automobile expenses to how much you're paying the owner. It also includes insurance. It includes credit card fees. It'll include your utilities. Now, part of the reason why I include a lot of those on the second page is because you as a business owner will go out and you will contract for insurance. You will have electricity. The manager really doesn't have an opportunity to decide whether or not you have the AC on, whether or not you have the heat on. The manager doesn't know what you're paying for insurance. So I don't necessarily give them that much information that they can change. I want them to be concerned about the variable costs. But the franchisor needs to see exactly what you're paying for your full financials, which include everything. Some of the franchisors that I've worked with in the past have compiled workers' comp insurance from a franchisor standpoint. They've gone out and they've made a franchisor program for insurance just for the purpose of trying to save all the franchisees money. They've also done it on property and casualty insurance, which, as we all know, is one of our largest expenses. They can help you in other areas, payroll costs. What are you paying an outside entity? And they can help you in a lot of those different areas. So that's what, when I say full financials, to me it's very important that you show them what you're paying for everything inclusive to get to the bottom line, which is how much money is this store really making?
You know, and it seems very simple looking at it from 30,000 feet. That it can be, and if used correctly, a very effective management tool and certainly would benefit not only the franchisor but the franchisee as well in helping them along and being able to show some good financial metrics for the entire franchise organization. So at times, certainly I'm confused because I don't understand why franchisors and franchisees are so frustrated by financial metrics.
Well, the first thing is that I always kind of laugh a little bit because the franchisor is out trying to sell franchises. They sell the franchise, they court a franchisee to take over, and then for some reason, once that franchisee signs on the bottom line, they all of a sudden don't trust the franchisor. They don't want to give them, as we say, the full financials. And it's very important in the financial metrics that, again, the franchisor is seeing multiple locations. They've got the ability to see what everybody else is doing. They're seeing it from the 30,000-foot level. The franchisee is seeing it from the ground level. They are there on the ground. Metrics are just that. They need to be a tool and a guide to help people make decisions, but they cannot be something that you live or die by on your in your company. Sometimes people need to move a little bit away from the financial metrics. One of the examples that I used to give, and I still give to some of my clients, is a lot of people, when they look specifically at financial metrics, they see a party of two walk in and they say, wow, if I sell them two iced teas for $2 each, I only have to pay 10 cents each for those iced teas, so my food costs are 5%. And I take $3.80 to the bank. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if those two people buy a bottle of wine for $100 and my cost is 50%, I take $50 to the bank. And so the key on the financial metrics is that the franchisee who is on the ground level is much better off taking $50 to the bank than $3.80. Yet the metric is going to say, wait a second, you have a 50% food cost versus a 5% cost. And that's where the ground level has to be somebody who says, I'm not living or dying by these metrics. I'm using them as a tool. And that's where the franchisee and the franchisor are slightly different, because the franchisor doesn't see those two people walking in the door. They just see the overall. They see the 30,000-foot location. So, again, there's a little bit different objectives there, and they need to work together and not be confused by them, but discuss them and show how they have a little bit different objectives.
Sure, absolutely. And of course, franchisees must also include in their financials all forms of debt, including direct bank debt, and, you know, that's against the business, and, of course, indirect debt, like home equity and, oh, God forbid, credit cards that may have been used to finance the franchise. I mean, certainly that rounds out the financial picture.
Well, and again, that's where the best way for the franchisee to show that they can become profitable in this entity is to show the franchisor everything that they're doing. They need to know, okay, this unit cost us this much to open, and how did we finance it? And so that helps the franchisor, helps the franchisee, and it helps them understand exactly what they have. And, you know, the franchisee has to make sure that they're showing the information, they're using the metrics to the franchisor. The franchisor has usually been doing this for years. They've got a lot more experience. They understand exactly what goes into it. And a lot of times they will have the expertise and staff to be able to help the franchisee if they have any questions. But again, they can only do it if they're given all the information.
Sure. And of course, we know in dealing with some franchisees, and I can't just classify them as franchisees. I'll have to put franchisors in there as well. Too often they're not. There's the head in the sand syndrome, and I know from my past experience as a multi-unit franchisee for 6 years, there were times when I put my head in the sand and definitely suffered some consequences because of it. But you know, which makes me turn back to you and ask the question. Well, first, you know, as I said at the top of the show, I know you've been a CFO. For a couple of franchisors and a CPA. From your perspective, looking at the how beneficial it is to have those financial reports and all the different things that we can benefit by seeing those financial reports and having someone else look at the final financial reports. Why is it so hard to get reliable financial reports from franchisees and get them on a timely basis? What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's kind of interesting because what you see is that no matter what the franchise is, no matter what they're trying to sell, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a, you know, any other type of business, usually the franchisee inherently will spend the time, the effort, and the money to make sure they have the proper operational people, to make sure that they have the proper salespeople, the proper people working the floor, the proper people working. And what they sometimes do is financial is almost a sunk cost. You know, they're like, okay, well, I'll just kind of get somebody to do this. And it's a second thought. They don't think of it necessarily on the first time through. And because of that, they have problems getting out their financials. And the thing is that the financials are so important, as we all know, because, of course, cash is king. We all do this as a partnership as we want to make money. And it's so important that we can get this out in a timely manner. Because when you start going and saying, okay, manager, why was your labor so high 6 weeks ago? Inherently, we don't know. 6 weeks ago, I don't remember what I did yesterday, never mind 6 weeks ago. But it's so important for the franchisee to make sure that they're getting financials out to these people, you know, weekly. Is, you know, at least if you get something weekly, give them some ideas. As I said earlier, I do a two-page financial. Part of the reason why I do that is because I can get a manager a financial of page one on a weekly basis. So I can go to that manager and say, okay, today's Tuesday. Why was your labor so high last week? Why were your cost of goods so high last week? Now you have time to be able to make those changes and make those adjustments. If you get them to them 4 and 6 weeks later, they can't make adjustments. They don't know what's happening. So, you know, again, you know, to answer your question, it's very important that we do this. But unfortunately, part of the problems are that people think that financial is something that it's a cost. It's kind of like a necessary evil. I have to have it. I'll get it done, but I'm going to spend the least amount of money possible to do it, where the opposite is actually in effect with if you spend the right amount of money and you do it the right way, it can actually save you money multiple times over.
Sure, and you know, it makes me think, you bring up a good point about information being shared in an untimely fashion. I know at times as I'm watching CNN and Fox Business News and I hear, you know, of a report, XYZ company, you know, reports in the first quarter that they lost, you know, $900 million. And now, of course, when they announced that, we're already halfway into the next quarter. And it makes me wonder, was anybody looking at anything after the first week? Why did it, you know, escalate to $900 million? And I always just shake my head. You know, and going back to, you know, having the proper financials and, you know, making sure that we get the proper financials in a timely fashion, it makes me think that, what could operations people, you know, field ops people be doing out in the field if they don't have this type of information and in a timely fashion? Because as you and I discussed prior to the show, sure, they can print out a POS report, but it doesn't tell the entire health of the business. I mean, what could these ops people be doing out in the field without it?
Well, and that's where the ops people, the more you get a sophisticated ops person, the more they're going to be able to ask the proper questions. And they're going to ask the questions, okay, what was my labor last week? What was my cost of goods sold? They're going to get more, they're going to ask more timely, more accurate questions. So again, you need to make sure that you're giving them the answers in a timely manner, because that's the only way that they can make an adjustment. You know, the worst thing that you can do is you can have a salesperson out there and they're, you know, trying to meet their quota and they're selling it, and every single time they're doing it, they're losing money. And what are you doing? You're just building a bigger boat. But instead of losing $1 on one unit, you're now losing $1 on 20 units and $1 on 50 units. So you've got to be able to give them the information to say, hey, we lost $1 on that unit that you sold last week. Next time, sell it for $2 more. And if you don't give them that information timely, operationally, they're going to keep doing it, and then you're going to end up with this $900 million loss at the end of the first quarter. And I'm with you. I don't understand how that can go by and somebody not say, what's going on here?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where
It's basically described as poor informational quality checkbook accounting, I guess, as opposed to routine programmed accounting based on metrics. And too often than not, as long as there's a couple of dollars left in the checkbook, I know from a franchisee level to say, okay, you know, we're okay. amazing that people are thinking like that. Well, you know, in my experience on the franchisor side of the equation has been that, you know, there's an indisputable relationship between franchisee support and the quality of franchisee reporting. Yet I see time and time again franchisors investing considerable efforts from their corporate support center and through, you know, the infield franchise business consultants to help distressed franchisees. And I guess I ask you, how can you even begin to help a troubled franchisee absent of a full P&L, including, you know, the franchisee's debt service?
Well, that's the problem, and that's why the franchisee and the franchisor have to work as a team from day one. If you go in as the franchisor and you go and you work with a franchisee who's already in a distressed situation, then it's extremely difficult to go in and say, what went wrong last year? What went wrong 6 months ago? You have to have that type of relationship where you're working together continually and looking at your financial metrics, letting the franchisor know so that they can keep an eye on it and they can see trends. They can understand the trends that are starting to happen so that they can be a little bit on top of it. They can start to say, wait a second here, you know, you just built this and you spent two times what we anticipated that you would spend. Your debt service is totally out of whack. We need to figure out what's going on. It's, you know, if you go to them after you spent the two times and you try to make it, it's extremely difficult. Any franchisor is going to say, wait a second, you already spent it. You've already got the debt service. How am I going to take care of this? But if you start going to the franchisor and working with them up front and saying, you know, I'm opening in, you know, San Francisco, California, and this is my cost to do it. Now, all of a sudden, the franchisor can say, wait a second here, you know, based on these numbers, you know, our metrics don't work. And you're much, much better off being proactive, trying to talk to them up front, doing everything in a positive way, than going to them after the fact and saying, hey, I opened, I spent this much, this is my debt service, I can't make any money. Now, we're all in the situation where it's not good for anybody. The franchisor doesn't want that. The franchisee doesn't want that. So it's going back to working together, making sure that you're a team, a partnership. That franchisor has selected you to be their partner for that location, for that area, whether it's an area of a city, a county, state, whatever. They've selected you to be that partner, and both of you have to have that. If you make money as a franchisee, you're going to pay your franchise fees. They're going to make money. If you're not making money, you're not paying your franchise fees, the franchisor is not going to make any money either. So everybody has to work together.
Sure. It certainly it definitely works towards an interdependent relationship when all that's occurring. How real time, okay, does the franchise accounting have to be?
Well, of course, you want to try to be as close to real time as you can be with all of the technology that's out there. Being real time is unbelievably accurate these days. Point of sale systems have ability where you can program cost of goods sold into the system. You can program all the different sales factors. You can actually, most of you are probably clocking in and out on your point of sale system. You can go and you can actually get accurate data, you know, on a daily basis. Sometimes you can even get it hourly. To me, hourly, it kind of gets a little bit skewed because we all know, you know, you bring on six people for your 7 o'clock, group when you have a lot of people coming in. But, you know, at 9 o'clock, you still might have seven of those people still working because they're cleaning up, they're doing this. So an hourly is a little bit more difficult. But with the technology that's out there, there's no reason why real-time reporting, the operation can't be looking on a weekly basis. Now, for the franchisor to try to look at it on a daily basis is a little unrealistic. They're not going to really have the ability to look at it like that. But there's no reason why, number one, is they shouldn't look at every unit on a weekly basis. And then if there is a unit that's having some issues, if the financial metrics are not in place, then they can zoom down and say, okay, now we need to be looking at this unit every day, be in constant contact and working with them almost every single day. There's no reason why that shouldn't be out there in today's technology.
I agree, which, of course, you know, brings to mind the reasons why it's not available. It basically could only fall into three categories. One, the franchisee does not want to provide it. Two, the franchisee is not happy with what they see and is embarrassed to provide it. Or three, there are things on there that they really don't want the franchisee to see. And that, of course, becomes a quandary because, you know, the financials have to be seen. They have to be used if they are looking to sell down the road. And last week we talked with Bruce Schaefer about business valuation and succession planning, and financials are obviously an important aspect of all of that. And, you know, with that in mind, I know because having worked with a lot of franchisees, that there are oftentimes a lot of personal expenses that are commingled into the business. And how prevalent a problem is that? I mean, I've heard everything from, you know, paying for tuition, you know, cars for the entire family, travel expenses, et cetera. How prevalent is that in the franchise world today, and what are the potential consequences that someone might be looking at, I guess, if they get down the road of whether it be a franchise audit or an IRS audit?
Well, unfortunately, it's more prevalent than we all would want or hope. It is something that has become quite prevalent, and it is something that people have to realize does have major consequences. When I worked with a franchisor, my concern was that, you know, I always got copies of sales tax returns, always got copies of IRS tax returns, always got copies of all those. Because from my standpoint, I said, as the franchisor, if they're going to cheat the government, they got a lot bigger problems than they have with the franchisor. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to lose everything. They could go to jail, et cetera. What I usually like to do and what I tell people to do is, as you have to trust the franchisor and the franchisee has to, you know, trust, and they trust each other, what I've seen more and more, what I've been trying to promote is, do your P&L, do everything, and then charge a management fee if you want for that. Now you charge a 5% management fee. You can take that management fee, you can throw it into another corporation, you can throw it into your pocket. Now all of a sudden, the franchisor is going to get to see what your real numbers are. They're going to see that, mm-hmm. that management fee. They may pull it out to see what you're really making, which is most likely what I would do. But now the franchisor doesn't have to sit there and say, why is travel so high when you have one unit? Oh, well, I'm putting all my cars for my families. why is insurance so high? Well, I've got a $20 million life insurance policy on myself, on my wife, on my children. You do all that through some sort of management fee. You can create another LLC, or, I mean, as I suggest, those are personal expenses, so I always tell people they should take care of them personally. I have seen some people who create a separate LLC, and they will put it into that LLC. You still have the tax consequences. You still have the consequences of why are you trying to use pre-tax dollars to pay for things that are personal expenses. You still have a lot of those issues, which are going to be, you know, if the IRS ever audits you, if the sales tax, if anybody ever comes looking for you, you do have issues with that. But what this does is it allows the franchisor to really see what your costs are. So in insurance, you don't have car insurance, life insurance, and everything else. You just have what is the insurance costing to run this unit? And I think that works out much, much better for everybody involved, because then again, the franchisor can give you the support that you need to make sure that it becomes a profitable entity.
Right.
And again, that profitable entity may be a 10% profit, and you may take it all in a management fee, but when that franchisor is looking, they're seeing that you're making a profit.
Sure, sure. So the real magic of having, you know, great detailed franchisee financial reporting is basically the ability for the franchisor to aggregate the data and provide benchmarking to franchisees in a useful and meaningful way. So really, then you can fix what you can see.
Right. And again, that's where the partnership is so important, that the franchisee is honest and tells the franchisor exactly what truthfully is going on at this business unit, not throwing in a lot of other things and saying, hey, I can't make any money, but they've got so many personal expenses thrown in, because the franchisor can't control that, and you have to be honest and let them know what's really happening.
Right. So basically you're advocating changing the perception of financial reporting from being a mind-numbing task to useful franchising, relationship building, and support tool.
And that's exactly what it is, because the franchisor will have the support, will have the people that can really help you, and they want to see you succeed. That's the key, is everybody, every franchisor wants to see the franchisee succeed.
Right. So what can franchisors do to make it easier for franchisees to report, and then, of course, use those reports in a meaningful way and be able to provide real support, not only for distressed franchisees, but generally to the whole franchise community? And I think that that has to start with making it easier for the franchisee to report. What can a franchisor do?
Well, the thing that a franchisor should do is try to make something that can be consistent throughout the franchise network. They want to make sure that, again, all the franchisees and the franchisor are trusted partners working together. Then they want to make sure that they have the proper support to support the people and give them a consistent report. I know in the past what I have done personally is when I've worked for a franchisor, I've actually written P&Ls, written general ledgers for the different types of accounting software, whether it's Quicken, Great Plains, QuickBooks, whatever product those people are using. Then by writing that, when they become a franchisee, I will actually give them a file and say, okay, what are you using as your accounting software? Give them a file and say, here's the general ledger we suggest. As a franchisor, I can't make it mandatory. I can't make it required, but we highly suggest that you use this. Now, all of a sudden, when you not only give them a general ledger, but then you tell them what goes into each account, you know, with, you know, in each account, what we put in to these numbers. Now, when people are sending your reports to you, they're meaningful because they're all consistent throughout the line. So that way, if you've got 47 franchisees, you can compare 47 reports and you can see, okay, here's the average, here's the mean, here's what the best one's doing, here's what the worst one's doing. The franchisees usually know the answer on how to make their units more profitable. The franchisor's job is to be able to pull that information out of them. So if you've got one unit that's running a 20% P and 20% cost of goods, and another unit's running a 40% cost of goods, neither one of them are right, because that 20% may be too low, and he may be, you know, penny wise and pound foolish. Because again, in this market, it's very important that we take care of our customers and give them a good product. And as I always say, as a CFO, the worst thing that you can do is let a CFO run your company, because you don't do everything just for cash. You don't. You want to take care of your customers so that they come back. Frequency is so important in the business world.
So,
but
yeah,
we've got to make sure. We've got to make sure that as we work together, that we can say, okay, why are your costs so low? What are you doing? And then go to different people. And it's very important that they use consistency throughout everything that they do.
So establishing a standard chart accounts is imperative as a franchisee, franchise management too. And that would be then considered a franchisor best practice. Do you agree?
I totally agree, because, again, that way it lets you work together so you can solve everything together.
But, you know, we look at things and try to simplify, but when we look at, you know, Quicken, Great Plains, Excel, balance sheets, P&Ls, financial metrics, certainly it all seems so daunting for people, franchisees and franchisor staff alike. What does a CFO or a CEO who may not have an in-house CFO do to improve people's financial literacy and take the fear and dread out of financial reporting and help the folks rely on the numbers in their decision making? You know, how do you educate them in that regard?
Well, the first thing that you have to realize, again, is financial information is only – we only can spit out information that's given to us. We don't make up any information. We can't change anything. It's only information that's given to us. So we have to make sure that we do it accurately and timely. We also have to make sure that as a CEO that we hire the right people. Too many times I'll see people who say, oh, well, this person used to be a manager. They don't want to work till 8 o'clock at night anymore, so I'm going to bring them in my office as my accounting person. And they don't necessarily have the expertise to do that. And it's very important that we hire the right people to do this job. We've got to bring in the right people, make sure that they understand it. I always say the easiest way to learn is to have to teach it. So if you have to teach your operations people how to read a financial and not be scared by it, that's a great opportunity for you to learn. You're learning the same way. And you have to make sure that you're bringing in the people who can make the right decisions. One of the things that I've done at Pearl Business Group is I believe that a lot of people go out and hire CFOs when they don't necessarily need CFOs. They need the support. A CPA and a CFO should be somebody just like your attorney. It should be somebody who maybe you put on retainer, maybe you bring in for so many hours. They can help set up these financial metrics. They can help set up financial statements. They can help set up things. They can help teach and train, but not necessarily have to be a full-time person that you hire and spend a significant amount of money on. And that's where, you know, a part-time CFO can come in and do incredible things for you. But again, you can't be scared to spend a little bit of money to get the right person. And it's something that, you know, the right person can mean all the differences in the world for something like this. This is something that's very, very important to everybody. And it's something that's very important. As they grow, you need to make sure you're giving them accurate data. The worst thing you can do is give somebody a financial statement and it's wrong. And the manager or operations person says, wait a second, this is wrong. We don't want to do that. You got to make somebody a operations person, a financial person who's understanding of how to do it. Now, at the same standpoint, the financial person needs to understand your business. If Pearl Business Group, when if we got a job as a part-time CFO, the first thing we would do is go spend a week in a restaurant, go spend a week in a unit, because we have to understand what those people are going through. We have to understand what they're actually doing. I went and worked for one client, worked in their accounting department. I was their part-time CFO. I asked their controller what this piece of equipment was. He said, "I don't know. I've never been to a unit."
How can we hear that often, even when we're talking about, legal support, everybody talks about the inordinate expense at times that it takes to educate their attorney, and I'm sure that's got to be the same case when we're talking about financial management as well.
It's one of those expenses that is, it can be a large expense, but it's something you can't afford not to do, is the way that I look at it. Is they have to understand what they're getting and how they can help you and what's happening in the unit and what you're actually doing. When you ask somebody to do something and they're just sitting in an office and just running numbers, they don't understand what's really happening in that unit, and they don't understand how they can write the proper metrics to really help the unit. What's important? What are they looking for? And so those are some of the real important items that are important so that it doesn't become a daunting task.
We've had many guests on Franchise Today and some of the brightest minds in franchising, and I certainly have to thank Joe Caruso for that, because as co-producer, he's done a fabulous job of lining up guests and putting together some very hot topics. But, and as I said earlier when I was discussing franchise news and we talked about common sense, and I referred back to Daryl Johnson over at Frandata when he was on, and he talked about the financial meltdown that occurred in the U.S. and bad practices in lending for homes, and we always seemed to be coming back to this common sense thing. And as you were talking about different things that franchisors should be doing and franchisees should be doing and reporting, I mean, to me, it just reeks of common sense. It's full of common sense, and which makes me further believe that if franchisees are not looking at this as common sense, then there probably is, or there probably are things that they really don't want to share. And I think you bring up a good point, a good suggestion about lumping that in as a management fee, so that the franchisor can see the actual financials. But I mean, to me, this is all about good best practices, if there is such a thing as good best practices. It's best practices, and common sense.
That's what you have to look at, and as I've said over and over, you've got to be partners. We're all in this to make money, and you have to look at it as common sense. What I see with too many franchisees is that they automatically assume that they're the customer, and the truth is they aren't the customer. It's different people that are in your establishment that are the customer. So instead of doing exactly what you want, you need to use your common sense, use best practices, and say, who really is my customer? What do they want? How can I better service them? And that's where, like I said, one of the most important things in all these industries that we work in is frequency. We want people to have a good experience so they come back. So instead of being, as I said, penny wise and dollar foolish, we don't want to make a dollar on a customer that's never going to come back again when we can make 50 cents and they're going to come back 3, 4, and 5 times.
Sure, absolutely.
And that's
you brought up a lot of good points, and I see you going back time and time again during this discussion about partnerships and sharing of information. And I think franchisors and franchisees alike need to think along those lines. I mean, too often than not, even for something like Franchise Today that takes an unbelievably large amount of time to put together each and every week. I refer a lot of times to to Joe as the co-producer and lining up guests and putting together questions and topics of discussion. But you know, even in this regard, it's more than just co-producing the show. I mean, like right now, you know, he's online with us. He's supporting the show. He's helping to guide some of the conversations, and basically providing us with some real-time add-ins to our commentary. And I see how the same thing is true with financial reporting. It's those real-time reports that are necessary for having a franchisor and franchisee working together as a team, truly as a partnership. And I think the key to it all is having the very focused common objectives moving forward. And I believe in franchising that all starts at the very beginning between franchisor and franchisee, working down the line with similar objectives. And I think if they start down that road as a truly interdependent relationship, they'll have those same common objectives and goals and would work together to achieve them. Let's talk about franchisor business intelligence, managing numbers. Many small and even some medium-sized franchisors have challenges keeping their numbers straight, let alone their franchisees. What are some of the common mistakes, and what do you recommend those franchisors do to get their house in order?
Well, the franchisor, again, has to be the leader. They have to make sure that they invest in the proper software, the proper point-of-sale system, and hire the right people. It's so important for a franchisor to make sure that they have everything in place to do it right and to make sure that they're taking care of it properly. Again, what I see as a common mistake is the financial sometimes is an afterthought. I have to worry about the operations. I have to worry about taking care of everything operationally because that's our bread and butter. And yes, I agree. It is your bread and butter, but we can't make financials an afterthought. Financials have to be something that give us the true picture of what's happening so that we can understand everything that's going on in the business. We can understand, are we making money? Are we doing the right things? You know, when you look at actual versus theoretical costs, you know, make sure that those are all set up properly so that, again, people can make sure that they're doing the right things and that they're profitable in what they're doing. Whenever there's a new product, whenever there's a new client that's brought on board, you need to look at a cost-benefit analysis. Okay, what's my cost to do this? How much is it going to take? How much time does it take? What's my cost of goods sold? And really analyze it. And if the franchisor doesn't have these in place, then the franchisee, when they're doing their on-site visit, their on-site location, they should notice that. And then notice and say, wait a second, how am I going to get the support? So for the franchisor, it's so important to make sure that this is set up properly so that a prospective franchisee sees it and uses that as a strength versus a negative when they're negotiating for the franchise agreement.
Absolutely. You know, and I think about how important financial reporting is and making sure to have the financial house in order. And last week when Bruce Schaefer was talking about succession planning and business valuation, and today listening to you, just puts a fine point on how important it is. And then as you were just speaking, I saw an alert come up about CV Holding Corporation filing for Chapter 11. And as we know, they're the parent to Charlie's Brown Steakhouse, Bugaboo Creek Steakhouse, and the Office Beer Bar and Grill. And they recently closed, about 30 Charlie's Browns and 18 or 20 of the Bugaboo Creek Steakhouses. And, you know, I know one word of caution that I tell franchisees, you know, if your financial house is not in order and you do go down the road to bankruptcy, God forbid, you have to have your financial house in order before you're standing in front of a federal judge or the trustee and what have you. So there are just so many different reasons for having good financials in place and good reporting procedures in place. And again, you know, I can't help think that it's just a lot of common sense. Without a doubt, it's just a lot of common sense. And
the most important thing that you look at, and I know this was discussed last week on the show, is that, you know, when you're looking at your financial projections and you're getting everything ready and you're trying to you get the proper documentation, you always are thinking of your exit strategy. What is your exit strategy? If your mm-hmm. financial documents are not in order, your exit strategy is getting thrown out the window. I've worked with companies. I've done, you know, purchases and sales before, and you can, you know, what is the difference in a one multiple, a two multiple, or three multiple? You'll get different multiples based on your financials and how well that they are put together. It can more than pay for itself. If you're working on a multiple and you're saying, okay, I want to get a three multiple today, and your financials are really out of whack, nobody's going to offer you more than a two, and vice versa. So you really need to make sure that this is in place, especially for your exit strategy, because it's something that I know you discussed last week. It's something that you're always going to be looking for.
Yeah, I know when somebody comes to me and we start talking about business planning, the first thing I ask them is, you know, what's your exit strategy? And before you answer, you really should have two exit strategies, one that's just voluntary and one that's involuntary. And too often than not, they haven't even begun to think about that. And, you know, I understand that you're an adjunct professor at University Central Florida, the Rosen School of Hospitality Management. And I know your classes are filled with students who might one day want to be business owners. Tell us a little bit about some of your experiences while teaching. I mean, you know, what do you teach and what has surprised you and what have you learned from these students?
Well, I teach a class which is called Restaurant Management from Soup to Nuts. And what we do is we work with students. And they have a long-term project, which is first semester. They have to find a location. They have to develop the menu, then develop the store architecturally, come up with a marketing plan, come up with the menu, and all the way and develop the whole thing until they're ready to open. The thing that is so surprising is the first time that I taught the class, approximately 30% of the students came up to me after the class and said, you know what I found out? I don't want to be in the restaurant business. I thought that it was just open the doors and serve people food. You know, I have a great spaghetti recipe. I'm going to go open a restaurant. They forget, okay, where's the – you have to look at the location. You have to look at the demographics. You've got to look at the people. How much can you charge in the location that you're moving to? What are you going to pay for rent? How much is your rent? Then they forget, okay, now I got to think about what are my fixed assets? How am I going to build this location out? You know, how am I going to pay for software? How am I going to pay for tables? How am I going to pay for these different things? Going up to the next level, okay, let's look at the competition around me. Where's their competition? Who is my competition? How much is my competition charging? And just, it's been an eye-opening experience because people in the franchise business, a lot of them feel like all they got to do is sign on the dotted line and they get to open their restaurant and boom, they're ready to go. But in any of the units that we work in, any franchise business, there's a lot more involved. You've got to understand marketing. You've got to understand the demographics. You've got to understand so much more. And that's what's been so eye-opening to me is because, again, I'm a business person. I'm a CPA. I use common sense. I'm not necessarily focused on one industry. I'm focused on the franchise industry. But a right. lot of people get focused on one industry, and they think how easy it is just to do that one industry. And they don't realize this is a business. There's a lot more involved than just opening the doors.
Absolutely. Well, David, so it looks like we're running out of time. And another segment of Franchise Today is in the books. Thank you for being my guest. I'd actually like to invite you back for another segment, because I know we have some more things to talk about. Thanks again.
Well, thank you very much.
Next week, Franchise Today will be taking the week off for the Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll return the following week with the IFA's Lisa Harrison as my guest. I'd like to thank Citizen Broadcasting, who has said we're one of their favorites on Blog Talk Radio, and we're honored. Until next week, or until the following week, I'm Fredo, wishing you the best in this great thing we call franchising. Have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. Franchise Today is out.